So today is our Vision Sunday too. So we're going to ask Viv to come up in a moment. But I'm just going to ask Joyce to come up first, who's going to just share with us a prophetic word from a couple of years ago and a build on that prophetic word. Do you want to come up or shall I come to you? Yeah, I'll come to you. Shall I hold it for you or are you okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
I was reminded this morning of a prophetic word that Julie brought in 2023. And I've got it here before me. I've prayed over this prophecy for a long time. And I want to remind you of what she said at that time. This is the Lord speaking to us in 2023. I want to remind you this morning that this is my church. This is my planting, my vision. And in order for you to take up my vision and run with it, you need my spirit. And I am drawing you close. And I am releasing my spirit upon you and among you. And there are those who are on the outside that I will draw to the inside. There are those on the periphery who will come into the center. Each of you has a purpose in my plan. Each of you has a place and a position. For without you, the vision is nothing. You are required to take up the vision. You are required to draw near to hear what the Spirit is saying, to respond to what the Spirit is saying. I am going to give you a fruitful year. And for some of you, you will go through the waters of repentance. Some of you will be released into new ministries and new giftings. And you will think to yourself, I can't. But I say to you this morning, by my Spirit's power, you will. I will make you fruitful if you respond to my Spirit. You will do things that you didn't know you could if you respond to my Spirit. This is my church, and you have been planted here and are here for a purpose, and that purpose is mine. For the days are short. I will return and I will see where there is faith. And I will see that in this place there is faith, for you are a planting of the Lord. I have given you the vision. I will fulfill the vision. Remain close to me. Respond to my Spirit, says the Lord. And the truth of a prophecy is when it comes to pass. And we have seen, particularly over this last year, we have seen new people coming in. We've seen people stepping up to have their place in the church, serving, ministering, as we heard last week from Naomi, being servants of the Lord in whatever they've been called to do. And I've been given this morning the privilege of speaking further to that vision, because the Lord has not finished with us yet. He has much for this church to do. And so I'm dependent on the Holy Spirit to give me the words. I have no script, not this time. I'm dependent on the Lord bringing the prophetic word to us. And I'm going to start with just a short phrase in tongues to get me really in the flow of the Holy Spirit. Takura masanda ramasikara manashanda. This is the word of the Lord brought by your handmaiden, in whom you are well pleased. And I would start by saying the Lord is well pleased with this church. But is there, we're in a transition period. He wants to take us to a higher level in the spirit realm. You are my people. This is my work among you. I have you as precious on my heart. And I will speak the words of truth of the way that you must go, if you are to fulfill this next phase of my vision. For I am building a people of power. I am building a people of authority who know their God, who hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and have the word of God in their hearts. And I will use that for my glory. I will take you higher in the spirit realm if you seek my face in prayer, if you read my word, and if you are obedient to what I tell you to do. Each person in this church has a function for my glory, not for theirs, but for my glory. So listen attentively, read my word, feed on the good food of my word to build you up in the things of the Spirit, because my word is Jesus, and Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, is within us. So I say to you this morning, stir yourselves up, seek the Lord while he may be found. And I was given a particular word on this, Hosea 10, verse 12, which Philip will read to us. I end with that.
Hosea 10, 12.
Hosea 10:12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you.
Thank you for your obedience to the Lord. Thank you, Viv.
Wonderful. How are we all?
Good.
I'm glad you are, Will. Good. I'll try that again. How are we all? Good? Good. Joyce, thank you for that. It's wonderful to be obedient to what God is saying. So we know that God speaks, don't we? We know that God is a God that speaks to us. And so we can expect the prophetic, which is God speaking to us directly, to be something that's part of us. And actually, that's what I'm speaking on today, is what is the prophetic? What is God calling us to as a people? That we can read the Bible and we can enjoy that and kind of take direction from that. But that is so helpful. And that's where our foundation starts. But equally, we want to be hearing God specifically for us. What is God saying to us as a people? So I was at a Christ Central leaders meeting on Thursday. So Christ Central is a group of churches we're a part of. And the leader of that group is a guy called Chris Frost, who came and spoke here back in 2019, I think. And he spoke about a compass. That if we go in a direction that is only a few degrees off the bearing that we started with, we can very quickly end up a long way from where we're supposed to be. And so, friends, today is a morning to look back and celebrate what God has done. And so it's wonderful, as Joyce has already reminded us of that prophecy from a couple of years ago, just to be able to look back over the last few years and see what God has done amongst us. But also to check and recalibrate, to make sure that we're not going off bearing, that we do not want to be a people that can start on one path and then veer off slightly. Because ultimately we're then not following God's will for us as a church. So let's start with the bearing that God has given us. So back in 2022, the leadership team, we spent time praying and looking at the prophetic words that God had given us. That there were many of those that had come through the years that we've been praying before the site even was established. And we felt God calling us to be this. A relational people, moved by the Spirit, to reach the villages of the Aire Valley with the hope and salvation of Jesus. That is the vision that God has given us. That's the vision that we have on bookmarks that you can pick up at the end. It's the one that we will talk about a lot. And it's based on the Great Commission in Matthew 28. So Jesus' final words to his disciples before he left this earth was this. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And this call to go is the same for us as it was for the disciples 2,000 years ago. It hasn't changed. I find it's a wonderful irony that we've been singing about being still, and I'm now talking about going. But there's a tension in that. That actually we stay still and our souls stay still in Christ. Yet we're not called to be people that are passive. We're called to be people that go. And so I'm going to come on to that. So Scripture has not changed. The same call for the disciples 2,000 years ago is the same call for us today, to be a people that go and make disciples. But the world, the context which we live in, is very different to 2,000 years ago. And it is actually very different to even this time last year. The world in which we live in is moving and changing at incredible speed. So since we started meeting regularly as a church here in 2019, we've lived through the COVID-19 pandemic, two monarchs, four prime ministers, the rise of AI, the cost of living crisis, the rise of individualistic and a culture of secularism, the Me Too movement. We've seen two significant government bills passed that directly challenge the word of God. Yet, we've also seen the beginnings of something called the Quiet Revival, particularly amongst those under 35, which is wonderful. So there's a real sense that God is shaking things up in our nation, that things are moving. It doesn't feel static, it doesn't feel settled. The foundations that used to be secure in society are broken. The economic climate is challenging for millions. I used to work for Christians Against Poverty, and day after day we saw story after story of people, the economic climate was not working for them. There's a greater feeling of isolation and anxiety amongst people. The threat of war feels even more real than it has done for a very long time. And the developing culture in the UK is making it harder to be a Christian than it previously has been. That our worldview is becoming very different, and even more so than the worldview that our culture speaks about in the media. Yet, we're seeing people turn to God in growing numbers. Isn't that wonderful? So overall, church attendance is up from 8 to 12% since, which year was it, Toby? Can we get the stats on? There we go. Since 2018, church attendance has grown from 8 to 12% of the UK population. But it's grown from 4 to 16% in the under 35s. The younger generation are seeing something in the church that they cannot find in the rest of the world. There's something shifting in the spiritual temperature. And God is calling us to be part of it. He's calling us to be part of what He is doing in the country. And so as a church, the last 6 years have been a really fruitful 6 years. Since 2019, since we planted out, we've grown to over 80 people. You're not all here today, but there are over 80 of us. People have given their life to Jesus. We've seen 12 people get baptized. We've grown from 3 to 6 connect groups. That's our small groups on an evening or in the daytime. 3 of those in the last year. We've seen a youth group established. We've gone to New Day. We've seen numerous community events. We've run 6 Alpha courses. We've started a partnership with Acts 4:35, which is a ministry that is serving our community. And we've even produced a pantomime. Thank you. Oh, yes, we have. We've even had a pantomime, which we are not doing another pantomime. We're doing a different thing this Christmas. So it's been a busy time. It's been a busy time for us. And there's much to celebrate. I remember being stood here in 2019, and when all the kids went, there was about 4 people left to talk to. But God's growing us. And I don't just stand here and celebrate the numbers for the sake of numbers, but it's the lives that God is changing that I celebrate. He's been wonderfully gracious and faithful to us as a people. And I want to thank you all for being part of the church family. I want to thank you for all your serving and your caring of each other. The way that you're spurring each other on and growing each other in your faith, praying with each other, supporting each other. That's really special. That's really special, guys. But we know that this is still just the start of the journey. So what God has been doing so far in the last 6 years is something to celebrate, but it is just the start of the journey. It's not a time to sit back and relax. The Great Commission doesn't give us that option. It starts with go. And we need to stay as a mobile and alert people. We are called to go, to be people on the move. Philip and Joyce would say, we are go ye people. And I want to break this down, this go, into 2 aspects. We're called to go deeper, and we're called to go out. Called to go deeper, called to go out. And if you've been around for the last few months, you'll have heard us speaking about God's call for us to go deeper. And this has come from several prophetic words, God speaking to us directly, that have all focused on the call in Ezekiel 47, to go deeper into the waters of God. And this is this call is both an encouragement and a challenge to us. The call to go deep into the waters of God is an encouragement, but also a challenge. When we were on holiday in the summer, we shared a pool with a family with a boy that was kind of maybe 2 or 3 years old. And it was a real delight to watch this little boy stand on the side of the pool with his parents in the water, being like, jump, jump, you can do it, jump. And on the first day, he'd kind of like tentatively kind of essentially fall into the pool. But a couple of days later, he's like launching himself as far as he can into the pool. He'd grown in confidence. He'd realized that actually the call to go deeper that his parents were saying, to jump into the water, was actually a good thing. That it may have felt slightly kind of for him anxious to start off with, but it was a good thing. And he had great joy as he learned that his parents would catch him. And they would celebrate with him as he came into the waters. And that is the same for us. That the call to go deeper that God has been calling us into, to go deeper in the waters of His Spirit, it requires us to jump. It requires us to do something, to be proactive in going deeper into the waters. We cannot be passive. We're not called to be passive people. But we know that when we do step out, when we do, okay, God, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to step into the waters. We know that like the parents that are on holiday, Jesus is going to meet us, He's going to celebrate with us, He's going to delight in us, He's going to embrace us. And He's going to grow us to be more like Him. But going deeper in the waters of Christ means that we grow to be more like Him. He changes us to be more like Him. And we've just finished a series on discipleship practices, which are all aimed at helping us to go deeper in our relationship with Jesus. And so I wonder, as a bit of kind of an aside, what do you feel God has been speaking to you about during this series? We've had talks on all kinds of things. I personally have felt convicted and compelled to start fasting again. This is something I used to do as part of my discipleship walk, something I used to do quite regularly. But over the last couple of years, it's not been a regular part of my discipleship walk. I haven't been a person that fasts particularly often. And I want to change that. I want to be proactive in doing something to go deeper with Christ. Maybe for you it's putting aside time each day in silence and solitude. Or intentionally reading your Bible slowly, allowing it to kind of savour it. Or meeting up with other people regularly to pray together. These are all ways that we can be intentional and proactive in going deeper with Christ. And I'd encourage you to go back and have a listen to the talks again. If you missed any, or if you've kind of forgotten what they were, go back and listen to them again and just allow God to speak to you. But it isn't about just doing stuff. We've sung about being still, and this is not a counter to that. It's not about just kind of working hard, trying hard, doing all the things. It's not about just being on the rotors and doing everything about performance. It's not about that. It's about submission to Jesus. It's about submitting your life proactively, going, Jesus, come and do what you want to do. It's so easy to get caught up in all the stuff, isn't it? We can so easily become Marthas. Remember the story of Mary and Martha? Martha gets a bad press, bless her. But Mary's the one that sits at Jesus' feet, and Martha is the one that finds it so frustrating when she's having to do all the work. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, Mary's chosen the better way. She's come to sit at my feet. And at his feet, as we are still, and as we receive Jesus, as we engage with Him, that's the place where we're changed. It's in the stillness, it's in the sitting at Jesus' feet that we are changed. And all the activity of prayer, of fasting, of reading your Bible, all of that is basically putting yourself at the feet of Jesus. It's going, Jesus, I want you more than these things. And that's what it means to be a relational people. Our vision starts with being a relational people. And all our earthly relationships, they flow from the relationship with our Father. In John 1 it says this, that those who believed in His name, He gives the right to become children of God. Friends, we're His children. We're the children of the Most High. We're invited into a deep and personal relationship with Him. We're not invited to be His slaves or His servants. We're not invited to be His employees that He'll give an annual appraisal to as to how well we're doing. We're invited to be His children. Let's not lose sight of that by just doing. Let's not move sight of the fact we're children of the Most High, we're children of the Father. That's the place where we start. I want to move on slightly and just share a little bit about where Naomi and I have been at over the last few months. So the last 18 months, in particular, been a wonderful time where we've seen great growth in our number. Many of you won't have been here 18 months ago, and it's a joy to have you with us. But like a teenager going through a rapid growth in their body, they can quite often be growing pains. And we're acutely aware that the capacity for church growth and the mission cannot be linked to Naomi and my capacity. The capacity of church, the capacity of what we're able to do and the way we're able to press into God and the way we're able to seek after Him and to go on mission in this valley cannot be linked to the hours in the day that Naomi and I have. And so we felt God speaking to us about growing our foundations as a church. Growing our foundations. Now, Naomi used to be an outdoor instructor, and there was a centre that she was at that had a building which was one story high. And they wanted to make a second floor on top of this building. But before they could grow the capacity of the building, before they could put that second story on top, they had to spend a long time in the dirt and the mess expanding the foundations. This building hadn't been designed to have another floor, and so they needed to take time to build greater foundations for this building. They had to dig down deep before they could build up. There's a deepening of the foundations before they could build up. And this is where we sense we are as a church. That there is growth and expansion to come, as Joyce has prophesied. That God is not finished with us yet. This is not it. There is more to come. But not without spending time developing our foundations. That if the building that Naomi's centre had the second floor put on top, it could have looked great very quickly. But it was likely to collapse and fall. And ultimately that would hurt people. And we don't want to be a church in that place. We want to be a church that has strong foundations, which mean that we are ready for growth. And so we spent time praying and working with the leadership team, as well as speaking with Stu and Gaida, working through ways to grow the capacity and strengthen the roots and strengthen the foundations in the church. So as part of that, we've invited Carlo and Nick to be on the leadership team. That's been a wonderful blessing. And we're also developing a wider team of others that are able to begin to kind of pick up and carry ministry weight. And again, that's building into the foundations. It's not just being about a couple of individuals, but about actually how do we gather together to build the foundations, strengthen the church. And so all this helps the foundations of the church to grow. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. The strength of the church is not all about our strategies or our efforts or our ideas. Now, there's a part for us to have to play, of course there is, but we know that it is Christ who will build his church. It's Christ that will build the church, it's not us. We have a part to play, of course we do, but it is Christ that builds the church. And it says in Ephesians 2:20 that Jesus is the cornerstone, and he holds it all together. Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the one that holds it all together. And it continues, and in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So if the church is growing its foundations, we are the bricks. Each of us is a brick within the church, and we all have our part to play. And we're joined together through the Holy Spirit, that we're joined together as a body of believers on the foundations of Christ, on the foundations of the church, through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. And each brick needs to be strong and secure in its place for building. If you have weak bricks, the building will be weak. Yesterday I spent a bit of time trying to do some DIY, which involved drilling some holes in the wall. And the joy of our house is that all the bricks, as soon as you drill into them, they just kind of just disappear. I don't try to think too much about what that means for our house. But actually, the bricks that the church is built out of, you guys, actually we need to be strong. We need to be strong ourselves. And each brick is surrounded and supported by other bricks. That each brick's strength isn't just about what it can achieve by itself, but actually about what is around it. And that's the joy of being part of the church family. That's the joy of being part of a church, part of a family of believers, is that we're able to actively care for and build each other up, while we also have a responsibility for our own maturity, our own spiritual strength. We all have a responsibility to go deeper with Jesus for ourselves, to be proactive with that. I'm really aware this feels quite weighty and quite serious. I get that. But I've felt this over the last few months, just there is a weight to this, there is a seriousness to this that I've not felt before. There's a gravitas to us growing in maturity individually and corporately, which is important. The discipleship call of Jesus is a weighty and costly one. You don't have to look too far into scriptures to see the cost and the weight that the disciples faced for following Jesus, to choose to follow him. And that's the same for us. That the call to be a disciple of Jesus goes against everything our culture tells us to be and to do. Where culture tells us to be independent, Jesus calls us to depend on him. Where society says, look after yourself, Jesus calls us to the life of a servant. We heard that from last week from Mary. Where voices bring hatred and division, Jesus calls us to grow in unity and relationship. The discipleship call of Jesus is so countercultural to the way this world is set up and lives. And so inevitably, it's going to feel hard to pursue Jesus when everything the world is telling us is to go the opposite direction. And so therefore, we have to be alert. We have to be proactive in choosing not to follow the world, but to follow Jesus. It's not easy or glamorous. It's not quick fixes. But like digging the foundations for a building, it can be costly, it can be messy, and it can take time. But it's also something that is best done in community. Sharing where you're at with others, being open and honest with how you're doing, the good and the bad. Coming to connect groups, answering the question on a Sunday of, how are you? Not with the, we all know it. Oh, I'm good, thanks, how are you? Actually good, you know what? I feel pretty rubbish today. I'm really struggling with this thing. Or, do you know what? It's been a wonderful week. I feel so blessed by what God's been doing. Can I share you a testimony of what he's been doing in my life this week? It's as we do it in community that we build each other up. As we spend time being accountable to each other, sharing our dirty laundry with those people that we can trust. Saying, do you know what? I'm really struggling with this thing at the moment. Will you pray for me? Like, I need to be accountable to you in this. That's what it means to be growing in strength, to be growing in maturity together. Now this may all, again, sound like hard work, but establishing strong foundations, both as individuals and as a church, will lead to life and it will lead to freedom in a way that nothing this world can offer. Growing our foundations in Christ, both individually and as a church, will lead to life and a freedom that nothing in this world can offer. And that is the good news that we carry into a broken and fractured world around us. That there is a better way. There's a better way than this world offers. Than the latest trend on TikTok or Instagram offers. There's a better way. It's Jesus. That's what it's all about. It has to be Jesus. We're not here to fulfill our own kind of whims and ways. We're not here just to have a nice time singing songs together. We're here to meet with Jesus, to be changed, to be more like him. Jesus is the holy God, the creator of all things, and he desires a personal and deep relationship with every single one of us. He desires a personal relationship with us all. So much so, he chose to come to earth in human form that we may know him. He chose to die a sinner's death in our place. That our guilt and our sin, all of our shame, all the stuff that we have fallen short in, all the things that people know about, the things that people don't know about, would be taken by Jesus on the cross. He would take all of our dirt, all of our sin, and in exchange, he would take that and give us his righteousness. He would give us his righteousness. That, my friends, is the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That is the hope which this world needs to hear. That's the hope and the salvation that your next door neighbour, your friend, your colleague, your schoolmate needs to hear. Is that, hey, there's a better way. Rather than you carrying around all this guilt and shame and sin, there's a better way. You can choose Jesus. There's righteousness on offer for you. So we're compelled to go. There's a weighty call, but there's an absolute kind of, yeah, we're compelled. There's an urgency to this. There's an urgency to us speaking Jesus to people, speaking Jesus into life situations. There's an urgency to go and make disciples, to reach the villages of the Aire Valley with the hope and salvation of Jesus. This is why we're here. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for out there, to meet the needs of this community, the needs for them to know Jesus. So we meet together so we can be strengthened and built up so that we can go. But how do we do that? How do we go? What does it mean to be built up? We need to have people we can go to. If we're people that are called to go, it's not about bringing people into the church building necessarily, but it's about going out to the world. We need to have people that we can go to. Having friends, neighbours, colleagues or schoolmates who don't know Jesus is key. If we don't have people in our lives that do not know Jesus, then who are we going to? Who can we go to? I know for many of you, this has been something you've been intentionally focused on. Whether that's joining the local bowls club, or basketball team, or making friends with the parents at the school gates, or building relationships with colleagues or neighbours. Carla was chatting to me earlier and said, do you know what, our kids are doing this already. We have kids in kids work today who are friends from school, whose parents aren't here. It's like, I go to church, do you want to come? And they're like, yeah. Now I'm going to embarrass you, Otis, and you've been wonderful at this. That you've proactively been meeting with a friend, and you've brought him to know Jesus, and you've been bringing him to a place where he can get to know Jesus for himself. That's you going. Well done. It's a good thing. And we can all do that. We can all do that. There's a report called the Talking Jesus Report, which highlighted that nationally, only 53% of non-Christians know a practicing Christian who they could talk to about faith. So instead, if they do not have somebody to talk to about faith, they turn to Google. That's where they go to find their answers. And this means that people either don't know a Christian, so if it's only 53% of people know a Christian they could talk to about faith, it means that either people don't know a Christian, or they don't know that they know a Christian. They don't know that they know a Christian. Does that kind of make sense? Okay. I.e., they know some Christians, but they don't know that they're Christians because they haven't been told that they're Christians. It's a tongue twister. Essentially, Christians keeping their faith a private thing. And I know I'm really aware that in different kind of work contexts, it can be harder to be able to share your faith, harder to be kind of say that you're a Christian. I get that. But peer-to-peer evangelism is still the most effective way for people to hear about Jesus. It's the most effective way for people to hear about Jesus. The report highlighted that people who knew a Christian had very positive views about them. So this report said that if people knew a Christian, they thought they were pretty nice people. They thought they were friendly, they were caring, they were generous, they were authentic. However, people's view of the church is far more negative. The institution of the church, people, they don't get on board with that. But they do say, actually, Christians themselves, they seem pretty nice people. So we can't therefore expect people to just wander in off the street. That has happened. It's been a joyous thing when that's happened. But that's not the common occurrence. We have to go to them. We have to go to them and tell them about Jesus. So Tracy, I love that part of your story is that you met somebody in a coffee shop who just told you about Jesus. That she went and she found you. And now you're here. Isn't that wonderful? We need to be able to go to our neighbours, to our schools, to our colleges, our hospitals, our workplaces, our hobby groups. Now, I know for some of you this will sound exciting, but for others this will feel daunting and uncomfortable. That's okay. When do you start? Oh, yes. We'll take that, Tracy. That's good. I'm an extrovert, so I'm quite happy to talk to anybody about Jesus. I enjoy the awkward conversation, but I know not that won't be the place for all of you. Actually, you'll find it really, really difficult to be able to talk to people about Jesus. And that's okay. A couple of years ago, we had a guy called Dave Horsfall from the Leeds School of Theology here. Who remembers when he came to speak? He spoke in the Jeremiah series, from what I remember. Well, as part of his talk, he stated that the kingdom of God is built on awkward conversations. He shared the story of a friend of his who just started trying to talk to their neighbour over the fence, and ultimately got to the place where they shared the Bible together, read the Bible together, and this person came to know Jesus. But it started with a really awkward conversation of, hey, I'm a Christian, let's talk about the Bible. The kingdom of God is built on awkward conversations. And my challenge to us is, and my encouragement is, that we all need to be in a place where we feel confident to share our faith. We all need to be in a place where we feel confident to be able to share about Jesus. Now, what you're not is, you're not responsible for somebody's response. You're responsible to share, but their response is down to them. That's not your responsibility. So, my hockey team, they know that I'm a Christian. Some of them mock it. Some are ambivalent and don't really kind of think about it. But there's some of them that are interested. And so I'm praying that God would give me opportunities and openings to tell them more about Jesus. There's a guy I've been desperately trying to get to kind of catch up with at the pub for a long time. Because he asked the questions like, what's your church like? Tell me more, I want to hear more. Okay, let's go to the pub. We could talk about it. And we haven't got it yet, but I really want to. For those of you that are around, a couple of years ago, we spent time going through the Share Jesus course together. Do you remember that? It was a set of three videos that we watched on the Sunday mornings. And they were really helpful. They were really helpful in equipping us with tools and conversation starters to talk to people about Jesus. They are things we can make available, but we also feel that this is something that is so important to us sharing our faith. It's so important that we feel equipped to be able to do that. That over the next kind of 6 months or so, we will be looking at other ways to help us in those conversations, help us to feel confident in sharing our faith. So watch this space. We will be bringing some stuff to do with that. This is important. It's important that we want to be people that are going, sharing our faith, embracing the awkward conversations, so that people come to know the hope and salvation that Jesus has in store for them. That we would see this valley transformed to be full of people that know him, that have come out of a kingdom of darkness and into a kingdom of light. That's why we do this. So I want to be a people that go. And so the best way to start this, is to pray. And as I said at the start, it's not all about our effort and us doing and doing and doing, and we must try harder and have that conversation and go to the pub with this person and do this and do that. There may be some of that that happens, but the first place we start is in prayer. For those of you that were around when Steve Hurd spoke on evangelism back at the start of our discipleship series, he encouraged us to have five people that we'd be praying for daily or regularly to come to know Jesus. Does anybody remember that? Okay. Does anybody do that? Philip does. I'm not being very good at it. I've got a little post-it with the five names that's on my desk, and if I catch it, I'll pray for them. But that hasn't been a regular thing. But I know I want it to be. But if we believe that prayer works, which I hope we do, then praying for five people to come to know Jesus, to us to have the opportunities to share faith with them, say, God, I want this guy to come to know you. Would you give me an opportunity to talk to him about who you are? Like, God is going to answer those prayers. Like, his heart is for people. His heart is to see people reconciled and brought into relationship with him. So can I encourage you to, if you can, if you've got the list written down somewhere, to find it. If you haven't written a list of five people, to come up with one. And if you haven't got five people, to make some new friends who don't know Jesus. And so we're about to finish, and we'll be praying for these people in a couple of minutes. So just to recap, we're called to be a relational people, moved by the Spirit, to reach the villages of the Air Valley with the hope and salvation of Jesus. This is the vision God has for us. And in order to see this vision happen, we need to go. Go deeper in our relationship with Christ and with each other, to be accountable, to draw close to God, to be proactive, and also to go out and share faith with others. To choose to have awkward conversations. To spend time getting to know and encouraging and meeting with people so that you're able to share Jesus with them. This will be a challenging and costly journey. It takes time and effort and prayers and thought. But I believe we will see his kingdom come in greater measure in this valley in this next season as we do this. As we pursue Jesus, as we pursue what he has called us to do, be obedient to the Great Commission, Jesus' desire is to see this valley full of people that come to know him. Are you up for that? Some of you are. Okay. It's a challenge. It absolutely is. That if you want to find if you want to find an easy place to be on a Sunday morning, this is probably not it. But it's a place where we grow together, grow in our love for Christ, grow to be more like him so that we can go out. And so Beth, it'd be great if you and the band could come back up. There are two responses I'd love us to do. Behind me is this map.